Hello, hi, welcome. The show's name is Presh Reviews because my name is Presh, and this week I'll be reviewing Gladiator 2. So I'm going to give you some context for the movie before I start the actual review. And the first bit of context I want to bring to this review is that I did not see the first Gladiator up until time of recording this episode. This is not a reflection of how I am as a human being, because generally I watch the first movie before watching a sequel, but unfortunately I was rushed into seeing Gladiator 2 because it was on the IMAX screens for only 1 week, and it was just a last minute decision that I decided to go watch Gladiator, because if I waited the next week there would be no IMAX, so that was it, right? But this puts me in a unique situation where I can give my opinion solely based on this movie, as the baggage of Gladiator 1 is not holding me down. Right? The second bit of context is that I don't care about historical accuracy. This is a movie. If you want facts, then you should go watch a documentary. I believe that a director not only can, but should fudge the details to tell a more interesting story. Right? The third bit of context is that I'm a big fan of the director Ridley Scott. Since the pandemic, when I became a film buff, I watched a number of his movies, and I think Alien and Blade Runner are masterpieces, and I have seen every post-pandemic film of his in the theater. So, The Last Duel, House of Gucci, and Napoleon. Napoleon I watched in IMAX, right? Actually, I watched Napoleon in an empty cinema. It was more or less a private screening for me. But it's good to see that people came to see Gladiator 2. In fact, we haven't gone to the review yet, but obviously if you've listened to my reviews, you know that I need the toilet a lot. And I went about like 3 or 4 times to the toilet. And you have a theater employee who comes to check who's in the seats just to make sure that somebody hasn't wandered in and stayed in their seat. And the theater employee was just engrossed in the movie. Right? So that should give you a bit of an idea of how good this movie is before I even start the review. Right? The fourth bit of context is that I'm a huge fan of Paul Mescal, the star of this movie. I saw him in a movie called After Sun, and that movie made me cry. I was a wreck for 2 days after seeing After Sun. My only problem with Paul Mescal is his haircut. His haircut is atrocious, and there's nothing you can tell me that will convince me otherwise. For some reason, his hair in real life is the exact same as his hair in this movie, and I kept thinking about it throughout the movie. I just want to reach out into the screen and shave his head. It just, awful haircut. And it makes me think less of him as an actor that he has that haircut. But anyway, the fifth bit of context is that I mentioned I watched the movie in IMAX, but I went with my brother and my friend that does shrooms, and that friend said that he was tripping balls throughout the movie, and the movie went up a whole nother level because of it. And alright, so my thoughts for the movie. The movie begins with a semi-animated retelling of the first movie, which I enjoyed a lot. It reminded me a lot of the Spider-Man 2 opening credits, which does a similar thing, but it uses the comic book artist Alex Ross to do those animated things. I don't know who did it for this movie, but it reminded me of it. I've seen reviews that have actually criticized this and said and compared it negatively to Spider-Man 2, but I don't think you can't say, oh, that movie is better, so I'm gonna ding this movie. It's taken on its own terms. I really enjoyed this opening sequence just because it reminded me of something that may or may not be better. That doesn't diminish or raise this movie scene. But anyway, as soon as I saw his wife, I thought, wow, this woman is dead. She is dead. The deadest person that's ever been killed. dead. So dead. Unbelievably dead. Just dead, dead, dead. Dead, dead. D-E-D, dead. Dead, dead, dead. Right. I really enjoyed the opening battle scene. I thought it was well done on its own terms, but it also adds three things to the story, which, is very good. You want the battle scene to also convey information to the watchers of the movie, right? So number one, it establishes that Paul Mescal is an army general and can lead men, and this will come up later in the movie. Number two, it kills his wife and establishes his initial motive for revenge. But three, it shows how insanely skilled the Roman army is. Paul Mescal and his crew gave it a red hot go, and they still got wiped out totally. Right? The only thing I could think of that could have been done better was the CGI with the ships. There were lightning-filled clouds that looked fake in the background. Now, at this point, I thought it would be a cliche revenge tale where Paul Mescal eventually kills Pedro Pascal at the end of the movie, but I'm glad it took this turn into a more complex tale. I was pleasantly surprised that the story wasn't cliche at all. It was smart and intriguing, with the villain only showing his face at the last possible moment. My only complaint is that they weren't efficient with time. There's a couple of times where I thought they double did something. For example, when his wife dies, we see him go to the afterlife and mourn his wife. And then when they have the scene immediately after where he finds her body and mourns her again. Number two, when he meets Denzel for the first time, Denzel promises him the general's head. And then later, I think it's like two or three scenes later, Paul Mescal is in the bathtub and Denzel promises him the general's head again. Then, later in the movie, Paul Mescal gives his ring to the medicine man, and then the medicine man repeats exactly what he said to whoever he took that ring to. In all three cases, they could have done that more efficiently. They could have cut one of them out or done it where, like you cut in between the two. But whatever the case is, I thought, yes, they could have just cut some things out. The two emperors were just these weird little inbred freaks. Every time one of them came on the screen, my skin started crawling a little bit because they were so weird and off-putting. Then, similarly to the opening battle, the fight with the ape slash chimpanzee, I don't know what it is, the CGI looked a bit fake. There was too much emotion on the face of the animal, and it was taking me a bit out of the fight. But also, that was such a hectic thing to initially throw someone into. It's like fighting the boss in the game without fighting the minions first. It's, did you see how muscular those apes were? Those slash chimpanzees were. They were fucking, bro, they work out every, like Arnold Schwarzenegger's workout routine. That's what they're getting up to. I'm shocked that Paul Mescal survived. And, yeah. Then we get to the middle part of the movie where we see four plots unfold. Number one, Paul Mescal is put through a number of tests. My favorite of which is when they fill the Colosseum with water and do naval combat. Number two, his mother schemes with Pedro Pascal to overthrow the inbred emperors. Number three, Denzel is gambling with that man. And four, we found out that the secret of Paul Mescal's heritage. Right? Now, this is my favorite part of the movie, the middle part. And in particular, my favorite scene is when Paul Mescal's mother comes to visit him in prison and she calls him Lucius. And he replies, "I don't know who you think I am. My name is Anno." That scene made me cry. It was I thought it was so emotional, so like a boy denying his mother's love. It was like so hectic for me. And then I told my brother afterwards that I cried, and he was like, "What? That was just like a regular scene. Why were you crying?" So maybe I'm the weird one, but I thought that was very, it pulled at the heartstrings. It played a mirror chord on the heartstrings. That's all I'm gonna say. Right. Then this all comes to a head when the plan is foiled and Pedro Pascal is forced to fight Paul Mescal in the arena. On the one hand, I like his character seeing above the revenge and choosing not to kill Pedro Pascal, but on the other hand, he got over his wife's death very quickly. And that is my main complaint about this movie. It felt a bit rushed, especially in the third act. Now, earlier in this review, I said that a certain portion was inefficient. It's a sign of bad pacing if I say your movie is both rushed and inefficient. So I guess my real main complaint is the pacing. Right? The final part of the movie is also excellent. We get the reveal that Denzel was a slave and is on his own revenge mission, which again adds complexity to the story without it becoming confusing. I've seen a lot of people say that they dislike the final battle being between Paul Mescal and Denzel because Denzel has not been shown to be a good fighter. But I think that the ending fight is a metaphor for the dream of Rome overcoming politicians like Denzel. It was never meant to be a competitive fight. It was meant to, like I say, be a metaphor. Then, in terms of acting, I thought everyone was excellent, but especially Denzel, who is rightfully getting some Oscar nomination talk. I think sometimes people confuse flamboyant acting for good acting, and it's not the case in this movie, as Denzel is both flamboyant and he's also excellent. He's currently my front runner for Best Supporting Actor, and I've seen a lot of people talk shit about Paul Mescal, saying that he has no charisma, but I thought he was a phenomenal shy guy. You know, just a chilled, shy guy, right? Just because a character isn't shouting and loud all the time doesn't mean that they have no charisma. Paul Mescal has a quiet confidence about him, which I really enjoyed. Right? And I have to say that I was swept up in his speech at the end about a new Rome. That being said, like, intellectually, I understand that Rome is an evil empire, and there's no reforming an evil empire. They would have to break Rome up into, you know, states and sell it off or something. I have no idea how you would break up an evil empire, but, you know, when Paul Mescal gives the speech about a new Rome, you believe in it, even though, like I said, intellectually you know it's bullshit, but you really want to follow Paul Mescal into building a new Rome with him. And, you know, that's just the power of movies, the power of acting. You believe in things you would never believe in real life. And, yes, I truly enjoyed the ending scene. Now for my rating for the movie. Despite the negative things that I've mentioned, I'm gonna give this movie a 10. I know I listed flaws with this movie, which kind of inherently means that it can't be a 10 because 10 means flawless. But I had such an excellent time, and I feel like this is a 10, so it's a 10, right? I currently have Gladiator 2 ahead of Dune 2 as my favorite movie this year. But I do reserve my right to reevaluate when it comes out on streaming. Because I remember I said the same thing about Furiosa at first, and then when it came out on streaming, I dropped it down to a 9. So, similarly, I reserve my right to change my mind, but it's currently my number one movie of the year and is a 10 out of 10 movie for me. Right, so thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like. Etc. Portly needs to be a 5-star review. Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend. Tell a family member. And, yeah, goodbye.
Come on.